Hallelujah. All right. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 19. All right, you guys are familiar with this passage, many of you. It is the letter written to the church of Laodicea. It says here, the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of God's creation. He says, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were neither either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich. I have prospered. I don't need nothing. Not realizing that you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Somebody say naked.
Naked.
How many of you guys ever had a dream that you went to school, you showed up, and you're greeting your friends, and then you look down and you realize that you're not wearing any underwear? Like, you're not wearing any pants or underwear. How many of you guys have a dream like that, where you show up naked? Is this the four of us? Caleb, you had that dream? What a nightmare for you, bro. Oh my goodness. I'm playing. Just dogging on him. Come on. all right. Showing up to school, showing up to work, showing up to church naked is not a good feeling. Amen? I hope you never try to test it out. I mean, it's a terrible feeling. And here in the book of Revelation, God makes an indictment for the church of Laodicea. And his indictment is, you are naked. He tells his church that they are naked. Now, the part that we often focus on is that this church was lukewarm. And then all these pastors, they have their own approaches about what hot and cold means. Some people believe that God wanted them to be hot or cold. Some people believe that God just wanted them to be hot and cold is a bad thing. But anyway, the point is, being lukewarm is not good. Being moderate, being in the middle, being safe. Right? That's the general message we get from this passage, is the lukewarm sermon. But today, I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on the naked part. Hallelujah. All right, praise the Lord. Just like the church of Laodicea, there are many Christians today that go around naked. They go around naked and they don't even feel any shame. They go around naked, they don't even know that they are naked. And my message to you today is very simple. It is, do not go naked. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, do not go naked. Please, do not go naked. Now, what is the definition of the word naked? Right? The simple definition means without clothes. Secondary definition is without covering or protection. A figurative definition is exposed to harm, unprotected, vulnerable. Those are all figurative definitions for the word naked. You know, there are many Christians today that try to live their Christian lives without any covering or protection. They expose themselves to harm. They go about unprotected, vulnerable. A lot of Christians, they go around naked. So my message is very simple today. It is, do not go naked. Last week, we had an evangelism outreach Sunday. And it was called Friendship Day. And last week, we had 175 people at service right here. I mean, average, we were averaging about 130 people. Right? You guys really went out and reached out and brought some friends. Also, Dell was here. All right? And so, you know, we had a lot of people in the house. And last week, our testimony is as Pastor Joshua. Pastor Joshua is an Iranian guy, and he shared his testimony of how he got saved, how he became a Christian in Iran. It was a powerful testimony, amen? Yeah. It was a lot of fun just listening to him. He was so cute. He was so so funny. And after he gave his testimony, we did a little short altar call, and there was about 15 people stood up to renew their commitment to Jesus Christ. People that had been kind of backsliding or going their own way, they just felt like they need to renew that commitment. So about 15 people stood up. And then we had one sister stand up and receive Christ for the first time in her life. In fact, afterwards, I got to talk to her. I got to pray with her and pray for her to get filled with the Spirit. And she started, you know, fluttering and shaking a little bit because the power of God started coming on her. And I just kind of spoke and tried to establish some basic truths in her life because she was returning to California last. So she already left. And it was only her third Sunday at church forever in her life. Right. And God just opened up her heart, and she got saved through Pastor Joshua's testimony. Let's give God praise for that. Hallelujah. Now, when a non-believer puts their faith in Christ, we call that being born again. Now, in the natural, when a baby is born, that baby is born naked. Your birthday suit is all you get when you come out of the womb, right? And immediately that baby needs covering when it is born, when he or she is born. That baby needs to be protected and cared for. I have never seen a baby come out of the womb wearing t-shirt and jeans. Hallelujah. And what is true in the natural is also true in the spirit realm. When a person gets born again, that baby believer needs covering. Immediately, that person needs covering. That baby believer needs to go out regularly to a spirit-filled, Bible-believing church, Bible-teaching local church. That baby believer needs to get discipleship in some kind of smaller setting, like a small group. That baby believer needs to receive prayer, needs to receive counsel. That baby believer needs to be taught to read the Bible, to read books, to listen to anointed podcasts. That baby believer needs covering. And just because when you get born again, you have now access to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, does not mean that you are necessarily covered. Because remember here in the letter to the church in Laodicea, this letter, these words of Jesus are not being spoken over non-believers, is being spoken over believers. Just because you have a direct and personal relationship with Jesus Christ does not mean you are covered. And that's why I'm saying today, there are plenty of baby believers I see. They go to a crusade where they get saved. They go to a retreat where they get saved. And they come back and they run around naked. They do their Christian walk without any covering. That's exactly. That is not good. Everybody say, that's not good. And can I say something? I just want to expose this. Your covering does not come from listening to podcasts. Reading a particular author's books. Or watching church services on TV. You get no covering from any of that. Let me speak the truth right here. Covering comes from relationship. Do you have a relationship with Joel Osteen? Do you have a relationship with Bill Hybels? Do you have a relationship with Jim Cimbala? If you have no relationship, those men are not providing you with any covering. They're giving you teaching. They're establishing truths in your life, but they are not providing you with any covering. Covering comes from relationships. That means that you need to submit, not to some preacher on an MP3 that you have no relationship with that cannot speak into your life. You need a living and breathing leader. Even if that person's never written a book, you need a living and breathing leader that will speak into your life, that will speak wisdom over you, that will correct and rebuke you and put you in your place when you need to be. Speak the truth in love over you. You need to have relationship. Covering comes from relationship. And the deeper the commitment and submission, the thicker the covering. And check it out. Baby believers are not the only ones that need covering. Mature believers need covering too. Amen? Missionaries need covering. Full-time pastors, evangelists, they need covering too. In fact, the more the intense the work that you do for the kingdom of God, the more covering that you need and require. Think about that. The higher the level, the bigger, the more the devils, the bigger the devils, whatever the saying goes, right? Higher the levels, new devils. I mean, the more intense the work you do for the kingdom of God, you better make sure you take the time to go get some prayer to have people committed to you praying for you. To get wisdom and counsel before you actually make the final decision. For you to get prophecy, prayer, encouragement. The more intense the work you do for the kingdom, the more important it is that you are covered. If you go out naked, you will get beat down. The devil knows this truth. And so the devil's strategy is not necessarily to keep you from going out. He'll be like, go out all you want, but please go out naked. Now, there's a wonderful story in the book of Acts. And actually, before I talk about that, you know, if you kind of open your eyes, a lot of times in the church, we just get so excited when people say, here I am, Lord, send me. And missionaries like say yes, and then they commit. And they go to the missions field for 1 year, for 5 years, for the rest of their life, whatever. We get so excited when people follow the path of Jim Elliot and they just go out onto the missions field. We just send them out and we forget about them and we just get so excited. And we never really understand or hear about what actually happens to them on the field. But if you really investigate, what you will find is that you'll find a lot of stories of missionaries. They support raised in various churches, but they are not sent out from a particular church or missions agency. And so they go out naked. They go out independent. They have no proper covering. So thus they oftentimes will return prematurely from the missions field. They will return defeated, depressed, and a lot of times divorced. Don't think that missionaries don't get divorced. Oh, it happens. A lot of times they come back defeated, depressed, and divorced. That's because they get beat up by the enemy. They go into the enemy's territory and they just get beat down because they go naked. Sometimes it's their fault. Other times it is the sending agency's fault. And the truth is, it's sad, but certain churches and missions agency, they simply do not have an apostolic dimension to their ministry. So they are ill-equipped to send. They can do the actual work of sending, but they don't know how to properly send and cover that person so that that person will be fruitful and successful in the missions field. And so these agencies, they send them out, but they're ill-equipped to provide proper covering financially, prayerfully, wisdom-wise. And so a lot of times these missionaries, itinerant ministers, they are sent out, but then they suffer greatly on the field because they go out. I mean, they're even sent out, but because of the missions agency's fault, they're actually sent out still naked. Brothers and sisters, it's very important that you do work. If you do the work of the Lord, that you do it with proper covering. Do not go out naked. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. We have an interesting passage here. It's a story and account of the seven sons of Sceva. Or Sceva, I don't know how you say it. So in Acts chapter 19, these were itinerant Jewish exorcists. And they were invoking the name of Jesus because they had seen the Apostle Paul move in signs, wonders, and miracles. So as they went out, They started invoking the name of Jesus, but they did this ministry without any covering from the apostles. Let's check out what happened. Look at Acts chapter 19, verse 11 through 15. It says, God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Hallelujah. How many of you guys want to see that kind of ministry here in New Philly? A kind of deliverance ministry. Hallelujah. Verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this, but the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? All right, let's stop right there. These itinerant Jewish exorcists, they were trying to use the name of Jesus to do deliverance. I mean, they had good intentions. They wanted to help people. They wanted to get people healed. But they were doing this deliverance ministry naked, without any covering, without any prayer covering, without any wisdom, without any relationship to the apostles or the church leaders. So guess exactly what happens. They say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, get out. And they have this one encounter with a demon-possessed man. Man says, Jesus, I know. Oh, I know Jesus. Paul, I recognize. But who are you? All right? And check out what happens. Look at verse 16. And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Hallelujah. Naked and wounded. Missionaries, pastors, evangelists, fivefold ministers, when they try to do the work of the Lord with no covering, telling you, you're going to get beat down by the devil. When you go out naked, you're going to get beat down by the devil. So do not go out naked, or you will end up naked. Literally. As these seven sons of Sceva experienced. I mean, they were bleeding and naked. I mean, some stuff happened right there. There's seven of them, one demon-possessed dude, and he stripped them all naked, beat them up. They were bleeding. Can you imagine, like, Jen and Doug and Peter, Jacob, and Brian, they run out of the mini room naked and bleeding? What kind of scene that would be? I mean, it's not something you want to take a second look at. Do not try to do the work of the Lord, to try to do the work of the kingdom without proper covering. Now, some of you in this room, you have incredible gifts. How many of you in here, you have incredible gifts? I have incredible gifts. All right, put your hands down. Preach on humility next week. Some of you in here, no, for real, you have some incredible gifts, abilities, supernatural anointings to do what you do. I'm telling you right now, man, I was watching the Eagles game last week, right? I'm sorry, I have to just get into this because Holy Spirit coming on me with this. And the Eagles and the New York Giants were playing for first place in the NFC East. And the Eagles were down 31-10 with about 7 minutes remaining in the game. I'm telling you, like, everybody thought the game was over. And in my heart, even though I want to believe, because the pattern of the game was the Eagles were being so dominated by the Giants, it just didn't look like anything was going to shift. But Michael Vick. All right, he came out with eyes. He came out with eyes of fire, all right, and all of a sudden hits Brent Celek with a pass, and boom, touchdown. Right? Very next play, they do a surprise onside kick. Ryder Cooper, he recovers the ball, and boom, they're on. They're doing another drive down the field. They get another touchdown right there with Michael Vick. He runs it in. All right? Right after that, they kick it off. They hold Eli Manning to four, three and out. They punt the ball off, right? And then they get the ball at the other end of the field. Michael Vick just starts driving down the field, right? It's third and long, all right? And they're on like their 15-yard line. Michael Vick drops back. Everything starts to fall apart. And boom, he starts to jet out of the pocket. And boom, he picks up a third down. He picks up like 30 yards on that play. A couple plays later, it looks like the drive is dead again. And boom, Michael Vick right through the middle once again. Next thing you know, the game is completely tied up. Now, Deshaun Jackson, and at the end of the game, you guys got to watch the highlights of this game. It was all the experts said it was the most miraculous game they've seen in a long, long time. All right? And at the end of the game, there were only a few seconds left. The Giants had fourth down, and all they had to do was punt the ball out of bounds. They don't get a penalty for that, right? All they do is punt the ball out of bounds. Game's over. It goes into overtime. And then, you know, you fight and try to win from overtime. Well, the guy, Matt Dodge, I have to just say his name, all right? The punter, Matt Dodge, he's a young rookie. And he punts the ball to the most dangerous punt returner in all of the NFL right now. One of the most dangerous. He gets the ball. He fumbles it. And I'm thinking, oh, no, he's going to fumble the ball and he's going to lose it. He fumbles the ball, picks it right up, gets a few blocks, hits the middle, and boom, he's off to the races. Touchdown. Game's over. It was a tied game. No time remaining. He returns the punt for a touchdown. Eagles win the game. Now, why am I mentioning this? I'm sorry, man. Look, when it comes down to it, all right, it's not Michael Vick's diet. All right, it's not that Michael Vick is black or something like that. All right, it's that Michael Vick has an anointing. He has an anointing. If you ever watch Deion Sanders do commentary for Michael Vick's highlights, every time Michael Vick drops back and he sees a hole and he starts to launch out and he gets all these yards, picking up the yards with his feet, Deion Sanders will always say, "Do what you do, Vick. Do what you do." Why? Because what does Vic do? He messes you up with his legs if you're not keeping them in the pocket. And who does that better right now in the NFL is Michael Vick. No one else does it. Nowhere close to the athleticism that he carries, the quickness that he carries. I'm telling you, this guy's got a gift, an anointing, and ability. And I'm coming back to my message right now. Some of you in here, you have a gift, ability, and anointing. And God's got a mighty call on your life. And I don't know if any of you want to do this, but if you want to successfully, without fail, ruin the plans of God for your life, listen to this. This is all you got to do. You go naked. You refuse to commit. You refuse to submit. You go naked. You go without covering. You do not find your place in the body of Christ. Just live life without any covering and you will successfully forfeit the plans of God for your life. It's not sexual immorality. It's not all drinking and alcohol and whatever, you know. All right, it's simply going naked. You can be a good Christian, morally sound, everything, biblically sound. All you do is go naked and you will forfeit the plans of God for your life. You can be the most gifted person in this room, but your life will be flat and fruitless if you do not learn how to commit to a local church and submit to its leaders. You see, God-given authority, you need God-given authority to operate and function in your gifts, abilities, and anointing. If you get no authority, you get no audience. You get no authority, you have no place where you can regularly minister. Now, God-given authority comes through submission, whether it's in the church, whether it's in the workplace. God-given authority comes through submission. And I'll tell you, as the lead pastor of this house, you can have all the gifting in the world, but if I don't see a heart of servanthood and a willingness to submit, I'm not going to give you any authority in this house. I will give you no authority to teach, minister, lead a Bible study, lead a ministry team, preach, or prophesy. In my eyes, if you don't know how to submit to authority, you can't handle authority. How do I know that you're not going to go abuse authority? If I don't see a heart of servanthood, a willingness to submit, in my eyes, you can't handle that authority. You're not at a place of maturity, selflessness, love, where you can handle that authority properly. You know, I love what Pastor Benjamin, he gave an analogy at the Furnace leadership meeting last Saturday. And he talked about authority and anointing. The anointing is the power of God. It's your, you can also put your gifts under there, your abilities under there. And the authority is authority. And he talks about how it's like this. It's like a Lamborghini with like 600 horsepower in the engine. Nice streamlined body. That is a fast and powerful car. There is a lot of power in that Lamborghini. And then you have a Hyundai Accent. And it has like 111 horses or something like that. Are just enough for you to go up the hill as you're coming to church. And even then, if you have four people in the back, you're going to have to go a little slower than that. But, you know, it's just not that powerful, right? And Pastor Benjamin made the analogy that if you put a Lamborghini and a Hyundai Accent on the same road, one, which one has the more power? Well, obviously, it's a Lamborghini. But he said both will go at the same speed. Think about that. Why? Because there's a speed limit. All right? And that Lamborghini wants to not get a ticket from all the different cameras all over the city in the city of Seoul. All right? That Lamborghini has to obey the authority. Yes, that Lamborghini has to stay within the speed limit. And so it can have all the power. And you got the red light and you pull down your Hyundai Accent window. And you're like, what's up, baby? He can rev up that engine, but when it's time to go, everyone just goes at the same speed. Why? Because there's a speed limit. The authority of the city says you can only go 40 kilometers per hour. You can only go 60 kilometers per hour. That's the effect of authority. Now, when a police car hits the road, that police car can go at a higher speed. Why? Because that police car has the authority to make those exceptions and decisions. You see, you can have all the gifting and ability and anointing in this house, but without authority, without the leaders of this house giving you that authority, all that power is just sitting in your garage. It's just sitting under the Lamborghini hood. You make a lot of noise, but you ain't going anywhere. You know what? A lot of Christians, they want to go fast. They want to use lots of power. But they are not willing to serve and submit. They want to exercise the power without going through the process of being entrusted with authority. And if you want to be entrusted with authority, I'm telling you right now, you got to learn how to submit to authority. God will bring you through that process in which you submit to authority. Because when you submit to authority, it builds up within you the maturity, the wisdom, the character for you to exercise that authority when you're entrusted with it. But if you don't have that wisdom, character, selflessness, maturity, you get authority too soon, you get a position too soon, it will be to your own demise. Just think about all the celebrities that make it big on Hollywood too quickly. You know? I'm Britney Spears. I'm a Christian. Everyone practiced abstinence. A couple years later, what the heck? What is going on, Brittany? What happened to your Disney days? Why? It's because Brittany had all this gifting, all this ability, all right? But she got entrusted with too much authority too soon. Brothers and sisters, you can't fast forward through this process. It's not like the movie Click, where you can just take out a remote, press fast forward, and hopefully get through it. If you fast forward, you try to fast forward, it's that same thing as pressing rewind. If you want to skip the process that God has ordained for you at this hour, I tell you right now, mark my words, it will come packaged in a different form in the near future. Whatever lessons you don't learn right now, you will learn it. God will give you the same exact lessons in a different package in the near future. So here's my philosophy. Learn it the first time. I mean, those lessons are not easy. I mean, if God's forging patience, he still is. But, you know, like when God is forging patience in you, like he'll throw all kinds of stuff at you. Because patience is not birthed until it is tested. So, I mean, you just got to learn it the first time. A lot of Christians, they want to go fast. But they don't want to be held accountable. They don't want to submit. They don't want anyone to speak the truth over them. They don't want anyone to confront their lack of discipline. They don't want anyone to confront their lust problem. They don't want anybody to just speak into their life. They refuse the discipline of a father. And remember here in Revelation, it talks about, right? Jesus ends it here in verse 19. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. If you are loved, he's going to use people in your life that are over you to speak discipline into your life. He's going to discipline you. If you are an illegitimate child, you won't get any discipline. But if you are a child that is loved, if you really love your child, you are going to discipline your child. Usually your parents say, this hurts me more than it hurts you. It's true. Well, kind of. But yeah, it's true. Like, you know, they're doing it in love. When they discipline you, you know, they're doing that in love. Brothers and sisters, do not go naked. If you got gifts, you got abilities, be sure that you are submitted to a local church, to a leadership that you can be held accountable to. Do not go in and out of churches with an orphan spirit. Learn how to stay and submit in one place and be a son. Because sons get an inheritance. Orphans, they just get the scraps. And you know what? That's what their Christian life looks like. They're constantly looking like they got to beg God for things. They look like they got to strive for things. Sons don't do that. Sons walk into the house and know they have access to the refrigerator. They have access to the daddy's car keys. Sons. Orphans, they go into the refrigerator and they'll take extra and put it in their pocket and take it to their room because they're afraid they're not going to get fed the next day. Brothers and sisters, don't go in and out of churches like with an orphan spirit. Establish yourself in one place with the spirit of sonship. And you know, there's some people they just want to go so fast they just break the speed limit. They have no regard for the leaders of the church. They just start exercising their gift all over the place. It could be a good gift even. Prophetic gift. Apostolic gift. Teaching gift. They just start doing that. Having their own Bible study, stuff like that. Guess what? You go too fast, too soon. You break the speed limit. All you do is end up running people over. You're not edifying the body of Christ. You're just causing division, dissension. Brothers and sisters, don't go naked. You know, here at New Philly, every leader that serves at New Philly is a leader who is under proper covering. And that's why when you come to an altar call here, you know that you're not going to get some flaky person with weird theology with strange personal life, all right, you're not going to have some loony up here, some flaky person lay hands on you and put a spirit on you that wasn't from God. All right, the leaders of this church, when they minister, they go out with proper covering. I'm not a fan of gifted but naked leaders. I don't do naked. I entrust authority to leaders that are under proper covering. And check this out. Naked leaders do not bring honor to the house. Naked leaders will eventually bring shame to the house. If they're given positions too early, they lack the character, they can't handle the power and the gifts, the position, the influence, they often bring shame to the house. Gifts and anointings operate best. They function best when they're under proper covering. And that's why if you're really gifted and you come to New Philly, but I see no season or history of submission in your life, guess what? You're going to mop the floor. Guess what? You're going to set up the chairs. Well, I got this prophetic gifting and I can preach. You should see me preach, Pastor Christian. Well, I want to see you first scrub the toilet. So tell me about your church background. Well, I was at this church, and then I was at that church, but then I don't like this pastor, so I went and moved to this other church, but then I had a romantic relationship with somebody on the praise team, and that didn't work out, so I went to this other church. Oh, okay. That's a colorful testimony you got there. But man, can't help but recognize you're butt naked. I ain't going to put somebody butt naked up on the stage. I'm not going to put somebody butt naked laying hands on people. That's not good. You're going to get a season of submission and servanthood. In fact, I will delay you exercising your gift until I see that established in your life. And generally, I'll try to follow that principle. I may make a few exceptions, as you can see in the life of Caleb. But hallelujah. I'm just dogging on you, bro. I love you. All right, people didn't think that was funny, so I feel like a jerk now. Where you at? You go to the bathroom? Where are you?
Right here.
Oh, all right. And you got to be here when I dog on you. Come on now. All right. I'm going to shift the dog into Diddy now. Because Diddy needs to be humbled. Because he received a prophecy last week at Kalai that he's going to be famous. So when I heard that, I was like, Lord, yes, you are ordaining me to humble that man. See, but then if I try to humble him too much, he'll dog back on me somehow. And then I'm going to get all, like, I'm going to get sensitive about that. So, because he's witty. His when he dogs on people, it's like New York. I mean, he's like sharp. Anyway, all right, I'll try to shift the shift it over to him. All right, in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says that after they sinned, they sowed fig leaves for themselves and they covered themselves because they realized that they were naked, and they covered themselves because when they acted independently of God and they sinned and they went in opposition to the word of God, you see, what happened was they lost the covering of God. And that's why they felt so naked. But and the Bible says that they sowed these fig leaves and they try to cover themselves. But you know what? That's what a lot of Christians do. They come out of the covering of God, and then they kind of sew something together and say, well, this is my covering. You know, I listen to this pastor, and I read these books, and I tune into this Bethel TV, right? And I'm hooked in. I have that covering. And they make this covering for themselves. What they don't know is Isaiah 59 verse 6 says, he rebukes the Israelites when he says that you cannot cover yourself with what you have made. So even the covering that Adam and Eve sewed together with fig leaves, God says, man, you get rid of that. I'll give you something. You cannot cover yourselves with what you make. The covering needs to be provided by God. It's something that almost comes in from the outside. You may not even agree with it. You may not even like it. But that's the way the covering is going to go. And active leaders in the house. Active leaders, say amen. When you make key decisions in your life, please do it with covering. If you're an active leader, you are a publicly recognized son of the house, but you're also entrusted as a spiritual father of the house. That's why you're allowed to lead small groups. You're leading house churches, leading Bible studies. You are a publicly recognized son and father in this house. But why is it that if you are a true son of this house, that you go and you make major decisions without any covering? Why is that happening? Why do I hear this happening again and again and again? If you're making a decision to move back home, you want to make a decision to step down from leadership. You want to make a decision to move to a new city. You want to make a decision to pursue a romantic relationship. Please don't do it naked. I mean, how are you an active leader at this church and you still do this? And look, check this out. Don't email me one day about some major decision you made without my covering, without my input. You put all the decision together, you made your decision, and then you shoot me an email. That is just disrespectful. That is dishonoring. I mean, for the reserve leaders in the house, or if you're just the church members, all right, I'll show them grace. But if you are an active leader that is publicly recognized and you're representing this church, I don't understand why you would still resort to those patterns. If you're truly covered in this house, I mean, look, just check this out. Please don't email me, period, active leaders. Are you making a major decision? Or you made your major decision? Please don't email. Don't email me. All right? That's just mad disrespectful. That is so cowardly if you really think about it. Guess what? When you email me all of that, where do I get a chance to speak into it? Especially if you already made the decision. How do you think that makes me feel? And God's just showing me something totally different. And now you shut me out, so I can't even say it. If I say it now, you're going to be like, well, then I think you're, what kind of odd predicament do you put me in? I've been sowing into your life. I've been investing into you. I've been nurturing you. I've been giving you teaching. I've been setting up leadership structures here so that you can grow in a safe environment, so you can minister in the anointing and power and fire of God, so you can see miracles and healings and contend for the kingdom. Active leaders, do not go naked. If you're going to make a major decision, talk to me. Or talk to an upper level leader. I'll tell you right now, John Michael is a son of this house. Marcus is a son of this house. Any major decisions that they make or they other people make through them, that always comes to me. Because they want to do it with covering. And they're trying to honor the leadership that's here in this house. You know, when you do such things, you just look naked and foolish. You can have the label of an active leader, but you just look naked and foolish to me. Make me regret even giving you active leadership. And you know what some people say? I'm sorry, I got to get into this. You know what some people say? Well, Pastor Christian's too busy. They say to my face, well, the reason I emailed you was because you were too busy. And it's not just one person. This is like a whole bunch of y'all did it this year. Well, Pastor Christian's too busy. Well, look, check this out. That's just you blaming me for your nakedness. Think about it like this. If you came to church next week butt naked, you got nobody to blame but yourself. I will take no responsibility that you showed up to church but naked. You know why? Because receiving covering is a daily decision you make, just like you put your clothes on every single day. You're either under the shadow of his wing, under the covering of God, or you're just out on your own, naked. And let me make something clear to you. I am not interested in controlling your life. I don't want to control your life. It takes a lot of energy. Cult leaders are stressed out, trust me. Cult leaders, man, they got to put in a lot of long hours to control your life, to control the life of their members. I'm not interested in doing that. I don't even want to do that. I don't want to control you. All I want to do is give you covering so that you make sound decisions. I can't make those decisions for you, but I can cover you so that you make spirit-led decisions. Hallelujah. So, here, check this out. You may be looking at me and saying, well, Christian, easy for you to say. You have a lot of authority in your hands right now. But I do have a lot of authority. And if I mess up or I try to abuse that, I got to answer to God. Or to Pastor Huang here. Hallelujah. I don't know what's worse. I mean, Pastor Huang will chew you out. I mean, he will chew you out, spit you out, put you back in his mouth, and then chew on you again. I mean, he's old school, man. He'll tell you like it is. I like that. I like that straightforwardness. Now, you might be like, well, Pastor Christian, you know, easy for you to say, you know, where's your covering? And check this out. Let me tell you something right now. I didn't get to this position of authority overnight. If I look back on my life, every season I was in submission. Every time I try to go naked, God said, put your clothes on, boy. My freshman year at NYU, I had a perfect opportunity, you know. Up until then, you know, my mom was like, you put your clothes on, boy. Put your clothes on. You're going to go to church every week. You're going to go to church every week. And she made sure I went to church. I remember when we first came to Philly, we went to a white church. We went to a white church in Oak Lane. It was like, it was a bunch of white people, and it was just like spiritually dry. And well, actually, Korean churches were dry too. But anyway, it was like dry, and I didn't understand the message. And I remember all I did was just like put my head on my mom's lap and go to sleep every service. But I was there. Because my mom was like, you're going to be covered. Even if you don't understand it, you know, even before you become a Christian, your parents can provide that covering for you. Covering of like health and safety. It can provide that covering for you through their prayers. Through them trying to keep you in the church. While some of your, you know, friends, they just like OD'd and died. You died and came back to life. Well, anyway, I was always on the covering. I was always in submission. And my freshman year at NYU, I had the perfect opportunity to just go do my own thing. Just go do my own thing. So NYU came. I found a church called Berklin Baptist Church. It was in Midtown. And I used to go out there. And, the leaders, they were trying to, like, build up trust and speak into my life. But I was like, psh, all right, that's enough. Yeah, that's as close as you can get. You know, I'll screen the calls. You know, I'll put them. We used to use pagers back then. So they would page me, but, you know, I would just ignore it, you know, whatever, you know. And I started, this is nothing on my sister, but my sister had introduced me to all her Korean international school, international student friends. And, you know, they were Christians. Some of them were Christians, but, you know, they weren't acting like Christians. And, you know, they would drink a lot and stuff like that. So, you know, I was like, yeah, let me go out there and experience some of this stuff. And so for my first semester at NYU, that's what I did. I went to all the Stern parties. All right, you go to a Stern party, right? Stern is a business school at NYU. You go to a Stern party. You show up. Your freshman, upperclassman, greets you at the door. They're like, are you guys freshmen? And we're like, yeah. Yeah, I guess we can't drink tonight. We're freshmen. And he's like, yo, you guys are freshmen? All right, come on, come over here. Here's your bracelets right here. Yeah. Put them on. Hey, nobody, don't let nobody see it. And they just gave us all these bracelets. You go in there, and they're like, free, open bar. And you just get free drinks for like 2 hours. And then you go hang out with the international school students, And they're just like, you know, how old are you? You're my 동생. They established that right away. You know, you're my 동생. That means that every time I pour you a drink, you got to receive it and drink it in front of me. And you got to do it in one shot. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I thought. So, you know, every time they pour it, oh, 감사합니다. Somebody, yeah, yeah. And you took like 3 shots straight, and you're thinking they're going to slow down. They're like, wow, 잘 마신다. 더 마셔, 더 마셔. And what people didn't know that I had gone through the process of submission and I was covered for most of my life. And our freshman year at NYU, I was just going out naked and stuff. That I got a reputation at NYU KCCC, which was a college ministry there. I got a reputation as being the punk kid. The gangster kid. Because I had this long piece of hair. And I used to split it like this. Some of the brothers aren't laughing because they're like, I used to do that too. And they thought I was the punk kid. And that's because I was going around without any covering. And so the leaders of KCC really started reaching out to me. But when it really came down to it, God put me back under covering through a fight that I had. Well, it was like 2 fights, but one particular fight, I had a fight with a bouncer at a club, and he just punched me in my jaw and knocked me out. But instead, I'm pretty sure I had a concussion, but like, I got knocked out, but when I woke up, I was like this. I was like, oh, snap. I think I just got knocked out. And I opened my eyes, and there's blood squirting out my chin, and I'm like, oh, snap, he messed me up. And the first thought was, I gotta fight him. So I took off my shirt, I had my white beater on. I was like, come on, boy, come on, come on. And this guy was this big black bouncer. And all these other bouncers are holding him back. Come on, mama, chill, chill, bro. And I'm going to kill you. Come on, kill me there. Kill me. I was about to fight him. That week, my jaw was numb for like 3 weeks, right? During that time, that numb jaw was a constant reminder. All right, you need to stop going to these places. You need to stop going around naked. You need to come back under the covering of God. And so by the second semester of my freshman year, I renounced all that. I turned away from it completely. And I said, Lord, I'm going to go back into your house. I'm going to start serving you. And so I started getting connected with a local church on 32nd Street. Started playing praise on the praise team. And eventually, my Italian-American mentor, Brother Michael, came all of a sudden into the church. And he started prophesying over me, started making me cry. he took me out on the streets, and we started evangelizing on the street. I opened up a big mentoring relationship in which I was submitted to him. I was submitted at that 32nd Street church. The name of the pastor was Pastor Huang. So I was in submission to him. I was in submission to Brother Michael. At the same time, at NYU, I was in submission to the KCC leaders. When I graduated, I went to another church in New Jersey and was submitted to my old youth pastor from Philly who was serving there, Pastor Kevin. And then when I went and got full-time training with KCC, I was in submission to the LA director who was doing the GCTC training, even though I disagreed with him. A lot of different things, I still submitted. I come to Korea. I look for a different church. God leads me here to this house. And I start submitting to Pastor David Huang. Another Pastor Huang. I start submitting to his leadership, working with him. At the same time, I'm submitting to the KCC leadership with Dr. Park over there. I mean, God didn't just give me like one man to submit to. He was giving me like 3 or 4 people to submit to all at the same time. He is like, you are going to learn submission. You are going to be covered. You know why? Because I have a tendency to be like independent. I have a free spirit. I'm like a wild stallion. Just want to run loose, you know? And God's just like, man, I need to beat you into submission. I need to put you in the place where you learn and understand my heart. All right? And so 2.5 years ago, I become the lead pastor of this house. And directly, I start to submit to Pastor Huang. He shows me a lot of favor. But at the same time, he's making me submit on different things. And now today, God has established a relationship with Pastor Benjamin Robinson. I'm submitting to him, submitting to Pastor Huang. I'm submitting to my peer, Alex, through accountability. Don't tell me I'm naked. I'm not naked. I got men covering my front, back, and my everything. And what I'm here to tell you, man, is just simple message. Do not go naked. You need covering. So even if you're here in Korea for only 4 months, make sure those 4 months are covered. If you're not covered those 4 months, guess what? You might go back home and you need to relearn the same lessons that God had ordained for you during those 4 months. And you're just delaying your calling. Hallelujah. Let's pray. God, I just praise you and thank you, Father, that you are the God who does not leave us on earth as orphans. But Lord, you manifest your heart of fatherhood through the men and women you place in our lives. And so, Father God, today, even as we're a few hours away from the leadership banquet, we just want to thank you for all the men and women of this house, all the leaders of this house that has provided covering for us all this year. We just want to love and honor them, Lord, because we know that it's not easy to provide that covering. We want to honor them, and we also joyfully submit to the men and women that you sent into our lives. Because, Father God, we recognize that we want to reach our full potential and purpose on this earth. So, Father, my prayer for every person in here is that, Lord, through the covering of God, that they will gain the character, wisdom, maturity to use their abilities, gifts, and anointings through a steadfast life before you live in faithfulness. May you cover them so that they may go and cover the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water the sea. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.